Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible as I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word. I see myself as God sees me. I am who He said I am. I have what He said I have. I can do what He said I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive. My mind is alert. And I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God, you may be seated.
Hello, this is Dr. Gerard Curry. Thank you for joining us today. We're picking up where we left off yesterday. We've been looking at the meaning of Pentecost. What does it actually mean? What happened on the day of Pentecost? Pentecost arrived 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 10 days after His ascension. But in that time, in that period, the Holy Spirit was given and the church age was formed. If you recall, in Acts 2, in the upper room, there's a mighty, great, rushing wind. And that was the Holy Spirit came and filled each of the people up in that upper room with His presence, and He came to stay. And that is a church era where we, the people of God, are the actual living church. And so He came for the people. He sat on each of them with cloven tongues of fire, where they began to prophesy and preach in other languages which they didn't know. It was a miracle and a sign to attract the other people that were in the area. And Jesus Himself became our high priest once for all, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, and we are seated together with Christ in heavenly places in Ephesians 2:6. And so we're picking it up where we left off yesterday. Let's join the service right now.
And so Pentecost is a huge day confirming all of this stuff. It's just amazing that this was a festival of Pentecost 50 days after the Lord
was resurrected.
Amen. So the first fruits would come. And remember, Jesus was a first fruit. And in that upper room, many other first, second, third, well, second, third, and fourth fruits came. He was the first, and then the day of Pentecost, all the others kicked in. And you and I fit in that bunch. Amen. I mean, this was a very, very big day in the history of the kingdom of God for the children that became children of God. It was a huge day when He sent the Holy Spirit. And remember, always that Jesus could do what He did by the power of the Holy Ghost in Him. Without the power of the Holy Ghost, Jesus would not have walked on water. He would have not have multiplied the loaves of bread. He would not have raised the dead. He would not have done any of those things. Now, I don't know. It doesn't say in the Bible that the gift of healing came on Jesus. It says He was filled with the Holy Spirit and He came to abide. So I believe that Jesus operated from the faith of the power of the Holy Ghost. Because when the gift of the Spirit comes on you, you can do anything that God tells you to do. When the gift of healing comes, you can lay hands on an unbeliever that doesn't even believe and they'll be healed. I don't believe Jesus operated, although He operated in all the gifts, but I think His faith was sufficient for Him to do what He did. Amen. And so Jesus could only do what He did through the power of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? And so the festival of Pentecost is when the second, third, and fourth, and fifth first fruits came to being after Christ, the first fruit. That's powerful stuff. Amen. The Lord Jesus ascended into heaven 40 days after His resurrection. How many of you know that? He came into heaven 40 days. He ascended 40 days. Because if you remember, after He ascended, after He was resurrected, they saw Him on the side of the ocean. Remember, on the beach, cooking fish. Remember that? Two of the disciples walked with Him on the one road, and He stayed overnight with them. People were raised from the dead, but that's not to say He was there at that time. But He was. in the earth for 40 days, afterwards spent time with the disciples, and then when he ascended to heaven, 10 days later. Everyone say 10 days later. The day of Pentecost came. So it was a total of 50 days from the resurrection to the time that Pentecost hit. 40 days Jesus walked the earth after his resurrection, and then 10 days after his ascension, day of Pentecost. What did it cost? Pentecost to him. Amen. All right. And so he ascended into heaven 40 days after his resurrection, and then 10 days after that came the day of Pentecost. And notice in Acts 2, 13 through 17, we'll read it now, that Pentecost was the first fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, which had been made 850 years previously. And you can take a note there, Joel 2, 28 to 32. And here's what it says in Acts 2, 13. It says here, out of the Passion, but others poked fun at them and said, they just drunk on new wine. You know, I used to have church services in South Africa. It looked like the people had all been boozing. Our services were, especially on a Sunday night, we had two on a Sunday and one on a Wednesday. I mean, it looked like people that were so under the influence of the Spirit of God and being set free from so much toxic stuff that was in their lives for who knows how many years, that they'd be weeping, some would be laughing, some would be dancing, some would be just silent sitting, some would have their heads down. I mean, it was the most amazing sight. And if you didn't know any better, you'd say, wow, these guys have been drinking. I'm not joking. I was in services where I saw people draped over chairs, the band lying underneath the instruments, the preacher lying on the floor. No one could be preaching. Nothing could happen. And you would think that people are drunk. But these people that poked fun at them and said, they're just drunk on new wine. They were right about one thing. It was new wine. Amen. Now we're going to Peter's Pentecost sermon a little bit. Verse 14, Peter stood up with the 11 apostles. Why 11? Judas was gone. Okay. And here's a side note. All the 12 standing there would prove that they were not drunk. They stood before this massive crowd, possibly in the courts of the temple, because there was a massive crowd. We know that there were at least 3,000 people. And if every one of them got saved, it was only 3,000. But not all of them got saved. So could that crowd have been 6,000? Right? So if 3,000 got saved, there must have been a large crowd, larger than 3,000. So they couldn't be standing in the upper room. They could have been in the temple, in the courtyard, and all of that area. You understand? And so there were 3,000 converted and baptized that day. So the crowd was possibly much larger than that. Now watch here. Verse 14, Peter stood up with the 11 apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, my fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. You need to clearly understand what's happening here. I mean, can you imagine? This is a guy who denied Jesus three times. Remember that? What happened that he became so bold now in front of the Sanhedrin and the scribes and the Pharisees? Because they were there. Don't you know they were there? When that sound was brought into Jerusalem, they heard it. They must have been there. And this man who denied Jesus those three times, who ran, and all the other disciples that ran away, were now standing there with a boldness. Something must have happened for them to get that boldness. And I'll tell you what it was that happened. It was first and foremost, they saw Jesus raised from the dead. They saw him ascend into heaven, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. That's why if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and he did what the Bible says, you shall be saved too. And when you get saved, you believe he was resurrected, he ascended, and the Holy Spirit now comes into you. Same thing. the power that they had, the tenacity that they got to stand in front of all these people now. And Peter standing there and shouted on top of his voice to the crowd, "Listen carefully, my fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. You need to clearly understand what's happening here. These people are not drunk like you think they are. For it is only 9 o'clock in the morning." Verse 16. "This is the fulfillment of what was prophesied through the prophet Joel." Remember we said Joel 2? Watch out. "For God says, this is what I will do in the last days." The last days that God is referring to over there is begun at Pentecost and extends until the return of Christ. It begun, the last days begun at Pentecost when the church age started. And it will continue until Jesus comes back. So they were in the last days then, and we're in the last days now. But a lot of stuff had to be fulfilled, and a lot of prophetic declarations had to come to pass that they couldn't have seen it at that stage. But remember, we got all the books after the book of Acts. Do you recall that? We got all the epistles from Paul and Peter and John and Jude and Amos. We got all those books talking about the prophetic declarations that had been uttered in the old covenant, which came to pass. They didn't know that. So from the day of Pentecost, the end of the age began. And it'll be completed when Jesus comes back and takes his bride. That's when it actually ends, when he comes back and he takes us to celebrate the marriage festival with him. Amen. And then people are going to be saved and they'll be put into the church as well. And then with a word out of his mouth, he puts a stop to everything. And we now celebrate the 1,000-year reign with Jesus Christ. It's an exciting time to look at. Wow. So he says, yeah, this is what I will do in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on everybody. See, he's not a respecter of people. That's why I'm reading it from this translation. I will pour out my spirit on everybody and cause your sons and your daughters to prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will experience dreams from God. I believe what God is talking about is what we're experiencing now. And people are getting revelation and the eyes of our spiritual hearts are opening right now. And we're going to see like Gehazi saw into the spiritual realm when Elisha said, "Lord, open his eyes, let him see that there are more of them than those, there are more with us than that against us." And he opened his eyes and he saw the myriads of God's armies on the mountaintop. And from that moment on, Gehazi didn't complain one more bit. Think about it, right? God opened the eyes of his heart. That's why it says, those that have ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We've got to be getting into the spiritual realm, trusting the Holy Ghost to reveal and give us revelation and open our eyes to see things. And I believe the people that are going to prophesy, they're going to have dreams, they're going to have visions. I believe that he's seeing into the spiritual realm, hearing from the spiritual realm, and doing what the spiritual realm tells us to do. I'm totally convinced about it, and this is part of the last days. In fact, I don't know how many we got left, but it's getting closer. It is getting closer. I don't know if any of you saw Jonathan Kahn's latest thing he just brought out, 32 minutes. Just watch it. Just watch it. I mean, we're getting close. Just watch it. I love him. He's excellent. So he says, "I will pour out my spirit on everybody and cause your sons and daughters to prophesy, and your young men will see visions and your old men will experience dreams for God."
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
The Church of the Holy Spirit in Palm City reminds you that America has a covenant with God, established over 400 years ago at the founding of our great nation, to send the gospel into the world. please pray for a robust revival in our nation, that we may honor this covenant in God's perfect time.